Welcome to the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Each week on the podcast, you'll hear stories and tactics from experts and influencers who will provide you with actionable steps to transform your business and your life. I'm your host, Larissa McClemon, and I help salon owners move from stress and overwhelm to lead a life of freedom and profit by implementing a strategic framework to grow and scale their business. So wherever you are in the world, I want to officially invite you to join me in this episode and make an important step in your journey towards more freedom and more profit.
Tired of feeling like you're working so hard on your salon business with little or even no reward. You're constantly hustling, but feel like you're never satisfied. Maybe you spend every waking moment thinking about your salon and how to make things better. You're always looking towards the next goalpost, but not actually enjoying the present moment. Who's guilty? I know I have been. So if you're feeling burnt out with your business and life, and then you need something to steer you in the right direction, think of it as something essential, self-care, time to think about you and put actions into place to bring you more happiness in your life rather than burnout. Because a lot of owners, make the mistake of putting themselves last. And I don't want that for you. And this can all shift with one change in belief. Happiness and life satisfaction will not come when you grow the perfect team. It will not always come on that second location. It's not just going to appear out of nowhere. So in this episode, I want to introduce you to Jenna Free. Jenna is a therapist for entrepreneurs like yourself. Jenna and I discuss how to find happiness in the business that doesn't require you to work more hours in the salon or hire new team members. How to find happiness that actually starts from within you. I know you'll love this episode. Grab a cup of coffee. Let's jump in and meet Jenna.
Jenna, thank you so much for joining me on the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Pleased to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
So I'm excited to have you on this topic today because I know for me in business as a business owner and now as a business coach, I observe in other salon owners like myself, there's this kind of phenomenon when we're waiting for the perfect team to arrive so we can have our perfect business. So then we will be successful and then we'll be profitable and then we'll be happy and then we'll be successful. So I wanted to invite you to come and speak to that. I know it's something that's near and dear to your heart. But before we do, why don't you start with, who are you, Jenna? Where do you live? What do you do? How did you get to be doing what you're doing?
Absolutely. So my name is Jenna Free. I live in Alberta, Canada. I'm a therapist and I focus on a big area of my focus is entrepreneurs. So, and the reason I do that, I think pretty much every coach, counselor, therapist does what they do because of their own experience. And mine was for 7 years, I was in the coaching industry and just a perpetual after this launch, I'll be happy. Oh, okay. No, after we create this product and we launch that, then I'll be happy. Oh, no, that didn't do it. Oh, when I make this amount of money per month, then I'll be happy. No, had amazing months. No, still was just stressed about now maintaining that. So it really took 7 years of that constant cycle of, okay, this is really hard. This is not pleasurable. I'm not enjoying my life. But once I reach this finish line, the joy will come, the relief will come, the relaxation will come, the lifestyle that I started my own business for will come. And then it took a huge business investment failing, losing a lot of money to realize, oh, like this is it. This is my life. And unless I enjoy it now, I'm never going to enjoy it. And so it was funny at the time, I was almost finished my schooling to become a therapist at that time. Then I kind of used my own tools on myself. And even my husband, like months later, was like, it's weird because you had this huge failure, but you're like, you're the happiest you've ever been. Oh, and I was like, that is so cool. And if an entrepreneur can grasp onto that of like whether my business is having a rough time or soaring so high, you can be good, like you will survive. But if your happiness is based on how much money you made or just waiting for this magical equation of the perfect team or the certain amount of profit, it's just never going to come. And then you get stuck in the cycle. And of course, kind of we're all centering around the mental health piece of that and happiness and contentment.
I love that. And I think it's great that we're talking about it because it's not just a problem that you or I have experienced. I think every entrepreneur or business owner, probably most people in the world even, experience this to some degree. And so before we get to, all right, maybe recognizing that you listening maybe have experienced this also, and what the heck are we going to do about it? I would really love to know, Jenna, like, what do you do now? Like, how do you solve that? What's a day or a week in the life of Jenna Free?
Well, it was so funny because I kept it. I have this journal of before our big launch of this technology that I put so much money into launched. It's like, okay, once it launches and we're doing so good, this is like, you know, this, that manifestation of this is what my life's going to be like. And I wrote this list of what my daily life would look like. And then after the flop, I looked at it. I'm like, I could have been doing all of those things every day. None of those required massive amounts of money. What was I waiting for? It was literally like, get dressed in nice clothes, like eat well, don't eat a bag of potato chips for lunch while you're furiously working, like give myself the time, move my body more. It literally said, get out of the house and see people. Because I'm an entrepreneur that works on their laptop all day in my home. And so when I really had that aha of like, oh, the things I truly value and the lifestyle I wanted was always available to me, but I had these thoughts, beliefs, and ideas that I needed to, you know, have a certain amount of success or be earning a certain amount of money to enjoy that life, when that wasn't at all true. And so when I tapped into that, like, okay, let's start living that life now. And then all those beliefs came up and I had to work on those things of, oh, I deserve, you know, happiness and contentment now, regardless of how much money I'm making, how my business is doing, that should be a standard. And then acceptance and commitment therapy is the type of therapy that I practice. And so using a lot of these tools, I was able just to get to a place of like, oh, I'm actually present. Parenting is more enjoyable. I have a 3- and 4-year-old. And before this, I was always like, oh, like, how can I like get bedtime to go quicker so I can work? How can I, you know, just like, let's get through parenting. That's so sad. Like, it's really, I had postpartum depression. I'm pretty sure part of that was because I felt like I don't have time for this. I need to be successful in order to be happy. So I can't enjoy anything in the present moment until that has been built and has come. Which is absurd because I had phases of what people would see as very positive, good success, but I still didn't click into this feeling of, oh, I'm good and I'm here and I'm present and I'm enjoying myself. So being able to, I've learned that I really value that, being present and enjoying my life. It was just kind of shrouded under this societal idea of success and money equals happiness.
And so what does your business look like today?
I'm a therapist. I have one-on-one clients and I'm, for right now, just keeping it calm and a little bit smaller and slower pace. And of course, you want to earn enough to sustain yourself, but I don't have that same frantic energy I did where, oh, I got to make a new product and I got to launch this and I got to do that. And I could do all those things. I technically have the bandwidth, but I don't want to use all my bandwidth for work anymore. And so, and that will change, I'm sure. But right now, just my private practice with one-on-one clients is really feeling good. So I'm running with it at the moment.
Love that. Let's unpack this kind of, how do people get into that state? Like, how do we get there in the first place? And if we can recognize that we're there, what the heck are we going to do about it? Mm. What do you think are the things that lead us to this point of, I don't have time for my real life, I'm too busy trying to make ends meet or be successful or make sure my business doesn't fall over? What's that all about, do you think?
Yeah. Well, I think there is a difference between making ends meet, where like, I'm literally not going to eat this month, and, oh, I want a big flashy business and I want to make tons of money. Like, that's two very different things. So I'm kind of more talking on the like, yeah, you have your bills covered. You're not at risk of losing your shelter. You can eat and sustain your family, at least in a very basic way where everyone's safe. That is different. So I want to put that aside because that is genuinely like scary. But above that, oh yeah, I want to top last month, or I want to, you know, grow, or I want another location, or that is all really ego. Like that is not necessary to live. So that is, I just want to kind of make that distinction. And so one, I think we are conditioned to think that way. If you think of just mainstream work, everyone's like waiting for retirement. And what for? Because it's that same mentality. Oh, I'll be happy when. But as like I'm in a stage of life where my parents are retired, all my friends' parents are now retiring, and like it's not good. Like that's not what we've all been taught it will be. A huge part of that is just capitalism. The world wants you to work your ass off, and then when you retire, they don't really care about you, but if they dangle that carrot of, ooh, retirement's really amazing, and then your life's going to be enjoyable, you'll work, and then when they don't need you anymore, you can be on your way. But it's really a false promise. Therapeutically, we know, like, you're not going to have something later that you don't have now. So there's nothing that's, if you're not present now, you're not going to magically be present later because you make more money. Like that's, you have to cultivate it now. So if you want happiness, you want contentment, you want fulfillment, you want presence, all of these things that I think most people desire, you have to cultivate it in the now. It's presence after all. You have to really work on it now, no matter what your external experience is, because it will not come with retirement. It will not come with that perfect team. It will not come with that second location. It's not just going to appear out of nowhere. It has to be cultivated internally. So if we can let go of that belief of like, oh, that external thing is going to bring that quality of life, and bring it to the truth of like, oh, it's up to me to cultivate that and enjoy my daily life, whether I'm in a lull, whether I'm doing really great, that's the practice, if that's the life I want.
Yeah, I love that. Happiness comes from within is really kind of the message. So then it's about, how do we find what is happiness for us? How do we dig in within to find it? Where do we start?
Mm-hmm. I think first, always in anything, especially in the internal world, is awareness. So some people might be listening right now being like, oh no, I'm not like that. Okay, really look. Are you waiting on a certain, you know, profitability? Are you waiting on, like you say, having the right team? Are you is there a waiting energy? Is there a chasing energy, a like never good enough energy? And for entrepreneurship, that's kind of baked in, because that there is also a message of like, maintaining isn't good. You always have to be growing, which is another issue. Because like right now I'm in kind of maintenance, like a little bit of growth. I'd love a few more one-on-one clients, but like I'm not building the state of my business or the form or adding things. It's like running as it is. And I feel like we've all been ingrained, like if you're not hustling and growing and constantly evolving, you're failing. So it's just really being aware of that energy of when you're writing an email, when you're hiring somebody, when you're launching something, when you're having a special or a deal going on. What is the energy around that? Is it this franticness of like, I must achieve and I must grow and I must do? Or is it out of genuine, oh, I really think that would be interesting, or I'd love to offer that, or wow, I really love this hire. They are so connected with our with our message and how, you know, our culture, like, where is the energy coming from in your choices? So awareness of that, and that just takes internal reflection. And then there's kind of two levels of tools we can use, one being the immediate. So your day to day, where can you implement things that are like just for yourself? Can you take 10 minutes to go get that coffee instead of like just having the gross stuff in the staff room? Like, can you give yourself some time, give yourself some decadence in your daily life, little pockets where like the value of this is in the doing. We can't, if everything in your day, its value is in like the result of the doing, that's what gets us into that cycle. Okay, I don't actually appreciate doing any of this today, but next week it'll result in more clients. Like that, we can't function completely in that energy. So it's adding things where the process is the reward. And for everyone, that's going to be different. For me, I love going and getting a latte. Like that's so special compared to just coffee at home. Going to the gym, like booking a class for me, it's like that's purely for myself. That is purely for the experience of the class. It has real, not a lot of additional like payback later. Like I just enjoy it. I'm very big into thrifting right now. Going to the thrift store, that is just pure like enjoyment and pure pleasure. I love it. So what in your life is just purely pleasurable? So that's like a nice little thing you can do like now.
And then I feel like the message with that is, do you know, what's the luxury here? Mm. Money will come and go, but it's actually time. Mm. Like mm-hmm. making the latte or the class or the thrift shop, like that's the luxury that we need to give ourselves is time. Mm. not on the treadmill the whole time. So the treadmill now for tomorrow's result, that's kind of the message I hear there.
Yes, it is amazing. Like even this office I'm sitting in, I think we're just audio, but I redid this entire office 100% secondhand. It costs so little money. I did all the work myself and I love it. It is. But the reward and the love of it is almost in the time it took, in the thoughtfulness, in the hunting for the items, in the process. It's not, oh, I paid someone to come here and renovate it and now it looks amazing. Good for me because I make so much money. Like that is so not as fulfilling to me. So I've actually been finding like with thrifting, it's just a very good analogy of like the time and energy it takes to find these special items to me is much more special and rewarding than going to the mall and buying $1,000 jacket. Like I don't find any pleasure in that. It's like, okay, I worked really hard to get this money and I'm just going to give it to you and take a thing off the rack. Like that doesn't give me that same internal kind of excitement. So the things that actually bring value in my life cost very little money. And I don't think I knew that before doing this work. I thought like the more money, of course, the better. And there's nothing wrong with making lots of money and being very successful, but you want to have both.
Hey, are you loving this episode so far? Oh, by the way, it's Greta here, Salon Mastery Success Coach at Salon Owners Collective. So I wanted to pop in and ask you something. Do you ever feel like you are winging it when it comes to your business? You started your own business so that you could live the life you wanted with freedom that you wanted, earn great money, and be a leader. But the reality is, the amount of effort you're putting in isn't giving you an equal reward. You're exhausted and you don't know what to do about it. No matter what you do, you just can't seem to get ahead. You see other people winning and seeing success, but how come it doesn't work for you? You wish you had a clear, laid out plan, something to guide you in the right direction or help you with what to do next. What can you do that actually works? In reality, many salon owners feel this way. You aren't alone. If you are nodding your head as you listen to this, then you need the Salon Mastery proven 9-part plan to grow your salon. That's right, no more winging it. The Salon Mastery 9-part plan has given hundreds of salon owners a plan to grow, build a rockstar team, attract dream clients, and become a salon CEO. Our plan will work for you too. To uncover the 9-part proven plan, just click the apply now link in the show notes of this episode. Okay,
I like
now
that. Back actually, to the episode. It's about both. It's not about or the other. Yes, that puts it in perspective for sure.
Yes, and like you said, that kind of the luxury pieces. I did see a TikTok. I don't know who it was, and they said, like, I started my own business. I've realized for a life, not a life of luxury, but a life of leisure. And I'm like, that is me. And it took me 7 years to realize that. Like, I want to be chill. I want to go to the thrift store in the middle of the day for an hour. I want to, my kids stay home on Mondays and we have what I call Monday fun day. We just like go to the play place, go to McDonald's, like just do fun stuff all day. I don't have to work. And it's cheaper. They don't go to daycare that day. Like, it's not necessarily so decadent and so pricey, but it's that leisure of time. And so that's something to also explore, is like, if you have no time and you have no leisure, was that something you wanted in starting your own business? And maybe it doesn't matter to you and you're really in a growth phase. And, you know, there are phases, of course, you're going to be busier sometimes than others. But how long are those phases? And are they end to end to end to end? And there's never a break. That's something to think about. But the second small piece you can use every day is boundaries. So that's kind of the luxury and the leisure thing is, yes, working hard might be important to you. You really want your business to succeed. But if you have no boundaries and it's just work, 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 work over everything, because I've always been physically present with my children, but there was no boundaries in my mind. So I was technically with them, but I was impatient. I was like unhappy. I was like, oh, I'm just not good at parenting. Like, I'm just not into it. I'm not very maternal, but no, I'm actually way better at it now that I have boundaries like in my mind as well. Like, this is not work time. And so my brain is going to be here as well as my body. So you may have like physical boundaries where you leave the building, but is that boundary also present in your mind?
I think that's so important to recognize. That's certainly, you know, you're speaking as if you've spoken my life for sure. I recognize that mental shift and having to shift away from and let go and stop one headspace and move into the next headspace. We have quite my kids are older, quite a language, you know, kids as they do will just start talking to you in any given moment. And of course I could be doing something else deep in a hole, thinking about something, and they'll be speaking and I have to say, okay, stop. Actually, I wasn't listening to you. I was finishing off the thing. Give me a minute just to finish the sentence, turn off the phone or the laptop or whatever, put it down with it. Right, you have my full attention. And that's just transformed the whole communication in our family, because one, they're respecting, I was doing something, I just need to finish it, but I'm going to prioritize you as soon as, but I don't want to just like, I'm halfway through a sentence or whatever. And so there's this real sort of respect about listening and actually you're a priority for me and I will put this down, but I just need to finish it. And so it works both ways. And that's been really great for us, because that's the transition that it's taken for me to be the impatient, like, honestly, can't you see I'm doing something here and you're talking to me about something insignificant? I don't want to be that guy, that mum, you know?
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah. Even if you don't have kids, but you're a partner, you're a daughter, you're a son, you're a friend, and being with people, I've also learned in all my studies and in my personal life, like interpersonal connection is what brings a lot of happiness. Like relationships is really the foundation of a lot of people's. And when I say happiness, I mean more like kind of the deep, like contentment, fulfillment, not like, ooh, yay, I get to go to the thrift store. That's kind of like superficial happiness for me. Whereas my kind of foundation of fulfillment and contentment comes with connection with people. And that typically is the case for most people. And so if we take that for granted, and now we have no boundaries and the work is impeding and affecting all of those relationships, you aren't going to have that contentment and fulfillment, even if you do love your work, because you do need a balanced life for your mental health and for your well-being and happiness.
So if we recognize that there's not enough balance and we need to go back to creating a little bit of space in our lives for the other parts of our life, I know one of the challenges that certainly I've faced in the past, and I see it in business owners, is like, I've forgotten what actually I care about, or what else I would do with my time, or what would I do? I don't want to go to the gym. Where do I refind myself almost? What are your thoughts around, like, how do we start that process?
That's so good. For so long, my husband is like, what do you like to do? I'm like, work. Because it was genuine in a lot of ways. I do find a lot of joy from elements of the work I've done for many years. But that wasn't authentic, because a lot of that overworking was easing anxiety. So we have uncomfortable feelings. I'm kind of detouring from your question, but just a kind of a little premise at the beginning. We have uncomfortable feelings, like anxiety of, I'm not going to make my targets this month, or I'm not going to find, you know, the right person to hire this month, or, oh, we didn't surpass last month, whatever it is. And so humans love to be comfortable. So if you're uncomfortable, you're going to use a coping mechanism. And for me, it was just constantly thinking about work. And that's, you know, because, okay, yeah, I'm worried about it, but at least I'm always doing something to try to make it better. But that, you know, that's not genuine. Like, a lot of that's not productive. It's harmful to a lot of other areas of my life. And it kind of solidified the idea of, like, I always need to be working in order to succeed. Which is not true, because a lot of that wasn't productive. So a lot of it wasn't doing anything for me. And so when you get into this space of, oh, I'm always working, I think sometimes we can convince ourselves, like, that's because I really, really love it. Is it? Or is it because you have anxiety, or you have these uncomfortable feelings, it's not going well, and so you use constantly working to try to ease those uncomfortable feelings? So we do need to get back to, I think, a great way to figure out what you do want to do with your time is, well, first we have to make the time. Because if there's no time there, the best way to see what you do with your time is to have time and see what you do with it. Like, if you're working all the time, then you're like, what would I do if I wasn't working all the time? Well, that's just a hypothetical question. But to get tangible, you need some time to fill. So
create time first is what you're saying.
Yeah. And then, be like, you're not just going to sit there for 6 hours if you have nothing to do. Like, you're going to fill it. Well, what do you fill it with? You can watch yourself fill it. Especially if you have the mentality of, like, oh, my happiness and enjoyment is important. Just as important as this business succeeding. Okay, now what am I going to do with that time? But kind of backtracking a little bit. So to make the time, we need to not just create boundaries, not just create a schedule, but dig a little bit deeper. So you want to kind of go back to your why. Why is this work important to you? And if you find that you love your work and that's great. If you figure out the thing that you're really focused on all the time, or the goal you have that's like, oh, I'll be happy when. So for me, it was very based in, like, monetary value. I'll be happy when I make this amount of money per month. So I have a visual, and I'll try to explain it verbally so that everyone can understand. So this is what I call, like, the iceberg activity. So if you visualize just like a drawing of a triangle iceberg with the water, the little triangle at the top is like what we can see. Okay. So here was more money. So that's what I wanted. That was my, oh, I can't hear you, sorry. So I have an example that is kind of my own from when I was in this time. And so the top of the iceberg is the top little piece that we can visually see and we're conscious of. So I was in pursuit of more money. Yes, I'm fully aware of that. I have the numbers and, like, written down everywhere and trying to do the manifestation, writing it out stuff and thinking about it all the time and calculating if this many people joined my website or if this many people bought my program. So the money was very visual and very in my awareness. What was underneath in the iceberg was the things that I subconsciously thought more money would bring me, but I wasn't conscious of it. So why was I working so hard at trying to make more money? And like, And I come from a place of privilege. I have a husband who has a good job. I live in a nice house. I'm not in need of any basic things. Like, I have all my basics covered. So where is this desperation coming from? And so underneath the water, the unconscious part for me was freedom, time, ironically, less stress, help. Like, ooh, I could hire somebody to do XYZ for me. Self-care. And then kind of going into the more ego-based stuff of like respect, admiration, attention, making your parents proud, or impressing people with, oh, that thing you were pursuing worked out, you know, the admiration of your peers. So once I discovered, oh, that's what I give a shit about. I don't care about that. I don't care what's above the water. It's that in my brain, I saw this all as one thing. I saw the iceberg as one big thing, but I wasn't aware of the bottom part of it. So more money to me was my access to these things. But that's not truth. That was just my specific perspective that latched onto that. So when I discovered, okay, so this is actually my goal, freedom, time, less stress, self-care, respect, admiration. Well, some of it we can cross off because it's like, well, that's an ego thing. I don't want to live for that. I don't want to live for external validation. So if we take those ones off and we keep the stuff that's like really for me, like freedom, time, less stress. I have that now. I do not make more money now than I did then. And I have that now. So I accessed it through different channels, like simplifying my business instead of adding more and more and more and more to make more money and then somehow have more time because I had more money. I just went straight to them making myself more time. You go kind of straight to the heart of it versus doing the wraparound of, oh, I want the perfect team. I want all the perfect hires so that, why? So you can draw a little iceberg with the line. Write the thing that's obvious to you that like, yeah, I've been really desperate for this thing or hyper-focused on this thing. And the ratio of like the attention I give it and how big it is doesn't seem proportional. There's always something there. For 10 years, I had a eating disorder and I was so obsessed with thinness. It's like, that makes no sense because that wasn't like in my heart, that's not who I am. I am not a superficial, vain person that wants everyone to think they're so great. So I'm like, that didn't match my soul. So what was it in that? Like, I wanted to look a certain way. And that's really what this specific activity came from, was an eating disorder client who was so like, thinness is the most important thing. I'm like, hey, on your deathbed, are you really going to say that? She's like, yes. I'm like, okay, there's something attached to it then, because that's not like a human soul real thing. So what is attached to it? And then when we discovered like, oh, all these emotions and things you didn't receive as a child, you have made those connections that if you lose enough weight and you are quote unquote beautiful enough, you will receive love, worthiness, blah, blah, blah. And so, but you can do this with absolutely anything. Typically the thing at the top is going to be kind of superficial. Like, why do I care so much that, you know, my salon looks really big and successful? Like, even if it's not making more money, I want people to think I'm doing really well. Like, what is that about? What is underneath that that is calling you? Because it's probably something much deeper and more authentic and makes more sense to you. And then you can just go straight for that. You want less stress? How do we reduce instead of trying to falsely have this impression of growth and creating more stress? Maybe what's most self-honoring to you is paring down. Where do we make the most money? Where are we the most profitable? Let's specialize in that versus looking at big and robust as possible when that's actually causing stress and not even being all that more profitable.
My experience is often paring down for high profit with a lower productivity actually is an easier business model. And you don't look as big on the outside, but you're actually highly profitable on the inside. Like, who doesn't want that? Especially if you can take Friday afternoons off or a whole of Friday off or whatever. and be profitable too. I feel like this is exactly, it feels like my purpose is to help people have freedom and profit. Like, why can't we have both? I think we can.
Yeah.
But I like your focus of like, we just have to zero in on what it is and then just shoot for that. Yes. And just be really specific. Yes. Actually, time is important, or actually profit is important, but without all the that.
Yeah. And how much profit is important? I do think we are skewed with what's like normal. I see so many, I've deleted TikTok recently because I'm a little too addicted to it. But on TikTok, I did see someone talking about like, oh, if you're just making a normal, quote unquote, normal salary with your business, you're failing. I'm like, excuse me, that's horrible. Like, to me at this point, having the salary of like, you know, a profession where you're working Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, and I only have to work 3 days a week, that is like ideal. That is all the money I need. Like, in addition to my partner's income, we have a beautiful, beautiful life that is very wanting for very little. So this idea that we need to be so profitable makes an exorbitant amount of money in order to be successful as an entrepreneur is messaging we also need to kind of flesh out and explore what's underneath that.
It's spending the time, isn't it, to work out actually truly what do you want and what's real for you. Like, everybody's situation is different, and what is the ideal amount of time and profit and income for their situation and the things that they truly want. And until we have clarity on what that is, how can you create it, I guess? I kind of sense that there's this need to spend a little bit of time and actually working it out. Otherwise, we're aiming for goals that we're not really articulated very clearly.
Yeah, sitting down with a pen and some paper of like, what do I want? And then that comes into values, which typically the things on the bottom of your iceberg are going to be your values. So like, to me, like freedom and having time and kind of being able to slow down is a really important value in my life. So where can I bring that? With my children, I try not to overschedule. I want time. I want freedom with them to, oh, we feel like doing this and we can do it. So I don't overschedule them in activities. Things like that is, you take your values, yes, put them into your work, but then you can also bring those with you in every aspect of your life and curate your life to actually be fulfilling, actually align with you. And then when you do that, you'll notice you enjoy the day-to-day more. You notice you'll prioritize, oh, this experience of living my life is becoming more important to me because I'm aligning everything and it's all feeling good versus being caught up in that constant growth. Like, growth is typically good, but if it's like, oh, I constantly have to be growing, I always have to do better next month than I did the last, till you're 80, you think you're gonna be making more when you're 80 than you are now? Like, we need to focus more. If you want contentment, fulfillment, presence, happiness, if you're like, no, I'm 100%, like, I just want to make more money every single month for the rest of my life, best of luck to you. Like, if that's what you want, I'm not saying anyone has to do anything. But if you've noticed, wow, I'm really on the hamster wheel and this isn't fun anymore, this is the way to go.
I agree. Yeah, I think that's the key indicator. Not enjoying myself, feeling highly stressed out, overwhelmed, leading towards burnout, then yes. Okay, I feel this has been fantastic. You're a business owner as well as a mother, as are the majority of us listening. What is a quote or a mantra or something that kind of keeps you on the straight and narrow? Can you share?
I do like a little bit of perspective. So just really focusing on like, because one of my other big aha moments was when I literally said out loud, I'll be so pissed if I die before this launch, because I was really pushing my life to like after the launch. And so I was like, I don't want to live that way. I want to live. And I mean, it's cheesy, but it's like every day is my last. Well, also hoping for the future. So we're balanced out, of course. But like the time I spend with my kids, I really prioritize my brain being present. If I have a day, I will take some time to myself and really work on not feeling guilty about it, genuinely sucking it all up and enjoying it. And perspective is everything. So if you're just in that constant reminder of like, even saying like, okay, if this week was, you know, if my weeks were limited, what would I want this week to hold? You know, oh, I want to actually see my friends more often. I'm noticing I'm not like connecting socially as much. I want to have, you know, quiet time in a coffee shop. I want to, you know, have more reflective time with the journal. Like, what do you want if your time was more limited? Because I think that's another thing that kind of screws us up in our thinking, is we have all the time in the world. And it's that exact analogy of like, oh, if I just wait for retirement, then I'll enjoy it then. Well, many, the year you were born and the year you retire are the two most dangerous years of your life, mortality wise. So you're not, we're not guaranteed that after. So we really need to start prioritizing the during.
Yeah, I love that. All right, what is a book you've read, a podcast you've listened to, or something that you think all business owners should get their hands on? You've got something yourself. Maybe there's something that you've read and listened to recently. What can you share?
I mean, this is going to be a little bit different than most probably, but like, go read something for fun. If all you ever read is about stuff for your business, we're kind of getting back into the problem. Go read a novel that like grips you. And it's like, this is pure, the process of reading this is purely pleasure. That's my challenge for everybody, to take this work into action.
I love that. That's just perfect for today's conversation. All right, Jenna, I know everyone's going to want to stalk you, find out all of the things. Where can we find you? What's your dub in your socials?
Sure, you can find me at therapyforentrepreneurs.ca. So I can provide therapy for Canadians, but I also provide coaching for worldwide. So it doesn't matter where you're located. And you can find me on Instagram at JennaFreeTherapy.
I love it. I really appreciate the conversation today. It's been really great and very on point.
Thank you so much.
And that's a wrap. Jenna, thank you so much for taking the time to come and join me on the podcast. Self-care and ditching the hustle culture is rather important as a business CEO. Trust me when I say that it's the hardest discipline to teach yourself, though. But if you prioritize it and yourself, you're going to end up living a more satisfied, happy life. Be a better mother, better wife, better partner, better boss. Speaking of prioritizing yourself, I want to share with you the Salon Profit Bootcamp, a 4-day coaching program for salon owners, smart salon owners who want to grow their salon into a profitable business, actually pay themselves first without needing any help from their accountant. So save your spot by clicking in the link in the show notes of this episode. All right, thanks for tuning in. I'll connect with you same time, same place on the podcast. Ciao for now.
Thanks for joining me on another episode of the podcast. Tune in every week as I reveal the latest insights and advice on what it takes to truly master your inner salon CEO and master your salon success. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective podcast on iTunes or Spotify, or visit us online at www.salonownerscollective.com. But make sure to join me in my Facebook group for answers to common questions and much, much more. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to tuning in with you again next week.